Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. My name is Heather, and I will be your host for today. As always, I'm so grateful that you are here spending a little bit of time with me at the moment. You might be very, very confused if you thought that you had already listened to this episode and then your podcast player is saying that it's a new episode. Basically, there was a small technical error, and when I say technical error, I mean my brain error. That podcast that a few of you have already heard actually came out too early. It came out when it was only half edited and I was not happy with it, and I was still planning to like sit down and add some more like further thoughts to it. And somehow I had, so like I usually go ahead and like schedule my episodes to release on like early on a Thursday morning. That's like when they're usually scheduled to come out. And, you know, somehow my brain mistook Thursday for Tuesday, and then I went to go edit it last night, like last night being, what, Wednesday? No, Tuesday evening. And it was like, you know, congratulations, your new episode like published 6 hours ago. I was like, oh, whoops. You know, these things happen. And it's so funny because, well, it's not like it was like completely unedited or whatever. I just wasn't totally happy with it. And like I said, I wanted to add more stuff to it. Which is why we are here. Not only am I adding more stuff to an existing episode, I'm just re-recording the entire episode. So if you'd already listened to that, and you know, there will basically be totally new things. There will obviously be some overlaps, but yes. So anyway, that's what happened. And yeah, like I was saying, it's like, it's funny because if that had happened even like a few months ago or a year ago, I'd be like so embarrassed, like, oh my God. But I was just like, eh, whatever, like these things happen. Mistakes happen and it's not a big deal. So that is what happened. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take the same concept of taking a creative reset for 2024 and even just like just for the rest of 2023 too, you know, because we're not quite there yet. So we're going to roll with what we'd already spoken about. And yeah, also because I feel like the last week since I had recorded that draft of that episode has been almost like my own exploration of this concept, like a creative reset. So there's some other things that I want to talk about and add and all of that. The only problem is that, yeah, because I'm recording in a different place, I'm not where my usual like microphone and all that are. So audio will be not as fun, but you know, this is how we recorded all the time I was in Europe and overseas, so I'm sure it's fine. I'm just doing what I used to do, which is like hunching right over the computer microphone so that hopefully the sound turns up as good as possible. You know, we don't strive for perfection here, we strive for life. Anyway, so let's get straight into it. I will just like double say the announcement that I'm hosting a free workshop that's happening on Monday morning, Australia time. So Sunday afternoon in the US, and I'm probably sometime overnight in Europe, on Sunday evening. So if you haven't registered for that, make sure you do it now. The link will be in the show notes. Because yeah, if you don't register then, and even if you can't make it live, then you won't get the recording. If you do register and then you can't make it live, you will have 48 hours to watch it for free. And then after that, it will be uploaded to my membership portal. So all my members will have access to it forever. But if you're not a member, you won't. I might make it available for like a small purchase amount after that. So that's the vibe. Make sure you sign up. The workshop is called Killing the Inner Cool Girl. So if you are someone who feels that you like disconnect yourself from like what you really desire, and like even letting yourself want things out of self-preservation, out of self-protection, this is the space for you. This is the space that I've created for all of us to stop being cool and to just be like the cringiest, most intense, obsessive, in love with what we want and what we like and all of that people. And not some like cool, too cool to care girl smoking a cigarette in the corner, like, but secretly she cares about everything, right? So that is what's happening on Monday as a little Christmas gift to this gorgeous community, early Christmas gift. And other than that, let's just get straight into it. Oh no, the other announcement that I wanted to make that I did make on the previous episode, but I will make again, is that year ahead slash like summing up 2023, reflecting on 2023 and looking ahead to 2024, astrology readings, astrology sessions are open with me. And yeah, make sure that you book that in if you want to get, if you want to secure one of the spaces around the new year or around Christmas. So the links for that will also be in the show note. I think that this is just such, it was like, I was saying this in my Instagram stories the other day. I think that even if you don't usually work with astrological transits, or you're not usually someone who looks at astrology as a way of planning your year ahead or reflecting or thinking about your year ahead, regardless of the astrology or not, it's just such a beautiful opportunity to take 90 minutes for yourself, like guided by me, to reflect on and make peace with what's happened this year, the year that you've had, and also acknowledging that we are in a transitional time, that you are shifting into a new year, and sort of like ground yourself in all that has happened and where you are right now, while also setting down like, okay, cool, these are the energies that I'm going to be playing with next year at whatever certain parts of the year. How can I take the attitude that I'd like to take forth into that? How can I play with that? You know, I'm never the astrologer that's going to be saying to you like, oh my God, you're going to make $1 million next year, or oh my God, you're going to lose all your money next year. As an evolutionary astrologer, I'm usually, well, almost always looking at more the inner world and of course how the outer world will influence your inner world. But we're working on, yeah, just this real development of your own journey. Anyway, so all of that is linked in the show notes. Okay, so the place that I want to start with this updated chat into, what are we talking about? You'll have to excuse me, and I'm so sorry about my voice too. I have been sick, some sort of flu-y, cold sort of situation. So yes, that is what's going on, but also my brain is slow. But yes, we are doing an updated chat into like a creative reset. So we are not just talking about like your creativity as in your creative self-expression, as in your art. We are also talking about your co-creation, your role as an active co-creator in the creation of your life, right? Your life is the greatest masterpiece you will ever make. That's what we want to remember as we come into this tying up loose ends of 2023 and moving forth into 2024. You know, I know, I really do get the sense that I am not the only one for whom this previous year, like 2023, has been a summing up. It's been a summation of maybe a cycle or a journey that we've been on for a while. For me, it's been like a solid 10, 12 years. It's basically been like a Jupiter cycle. But for other people, it would be like the Taurus Scorpio eclipse series cycle. That's really just been tied up in the last two eclipses just happening a few weeks ago. And for other people, it might be like a Saturn cycle or something like that, right? But there's definitely this sense of like things coming to an end, not to mention like on a collective scale, like we are about to shift in Pluto in Aquarius. We're about to enter like a whole new Plutonian era. And as an evolutionary astrologer, we do think about Pluto cycles as eras. We think of them as generations. We think of them as almost like, so the people being born, the babies being born during a specific chunk of time of the Pluto transit, they really represent the qualities or the evolutionary journey of that specific Pluto sign, right? So we've just had the Pluto and Capricorn generation coming into the world, and they are going to have this urge towards evolving in a very Capricornian manner, but also during a Pluto in given sign period, the world and the collective is also evolving through that sign, right? On a more interpersonal, right? Like, no, it's not happening on a personal level for each of us. I mean, of course it is, but Pluto is a much more transpersonal, that's a planet, that's the word I was looking for. It's a much more transpersonal experience, and so while we have been experiencing over this past year, like Pluto kind of wrapping up Capricorn and then shifting into Aquarius, but then coming back to Capricorn for like the la- to go back over the last couple of degrees of Capricorn in retrograde and then direct, before it will finally shift for good into Aquarius next year. We are experiencing this collective closing of one evolutionary cycle and the opening and the beginning of a new one, right? Now, on the collective, that is going to mean very specific things, but on an individual basis, it's also going to mean your own, like you have space for really beginning your own new chapter and your own new attitude that you're going to take into this, right? And like, I'm sure you would have heard like many, many astrologers saying Pluto in Aquarius, like any Pluto experience, right? It's not going to be the most easiest thing. We can already see there is like a lot that is going to come up, whether that is through the lens of like, well, what role does AI and new technology, how is that going to impact humankind and our experience on this planet, right? And then also the Aquarian urge towards like humanitarianism and what does it actually mean to be self-governed, right? That's something that we are going to have to come to grips with, to be self-governed, to be self-protected. It's something that we're going to have to reflect on as a collective, right? As we shift into Pluto in Aquarius, because Aquarius is very much that like humanitarian, but also that like independent and like self-governed and like almost like verging on anarchy at some points, sort of energy, right? And again, I'm talking about on a collective scale. I'm not talking about like the individual Aquariuses in your life. And while it is a wonderful concept for us to say like, yes, individuals should have personal freedom and self-expression and all of these things, what does that actually look like? And how can we come about that in a way that is safe for the collective? And, you know, that's where I, as an evolutionary astrologer, always look to the balance point being the opposing sign being Leo. So like if we're going to have a collective that is, like self-governed and freedom and anarchy and all these, you know, rebellion and all these wonderful things, right? We also need to focus on the Leo type things, which is that every single individual has their own identity, their own needs, their own ego in like that more healthy expression. And they also are coming from the heart, right? Leo's association in medical astrology is the heart, right? So there also needs to be space for love. We need to lead from love into a new era where individual needs are more accepted, right? Anyway, so all that being said, I think I just went on a tangent, but that is where we are coming into a time and space where we're in a transitional period, basically. Okay, so the first point that I want to touch upon is, yeah, this is something that I have been reflecting on, especially for the last week, but especially the last few days, is what it truly, truly means to let go of something deeply in order to make space for something new, new, fresh energy. This is one of those things that gets spoken about a lot in like spiritual circles and, you know, self-development and all of that, is this concept of like, you have to let go, you have to have the confidence and the, you know, feel safe enough to let go of things in order to have space for what you desire. What I want to talk about is a situation where you're letting go of something that has brought you joy, right? Because I think we speak a lot about letting go of things that we didn't like, right? So you got to let go of the jobs and the relationships and the people and whatever, the friendships that you don't like, you know? That's easy. Like, not that that's easy, but from an emotional standpoint, it can be slightly easier. But what about letting go of the things, the situations, the identities, the experiences that have actually brought you joy, that have brought a lot to your life, that has really enriched your life? Maybe for several years, but you just know it's time to let it go, whether you just feel you've outgrown it, whether you've outgrown the relationship, you've outgrown the way of being, the identity, the way of living, the space you live, the way you've been running your business, the way that you've been working, whatever it is, okay? That is really, really difficult because it's not like there's a clear, hard and fast, like, this is bad, right? It's like, yeah, I know that, well, for me personally, the breakups or the endings where there's anger are so much easier to go forth, because, you know, anger can be a lot more easier to process than grief. And so these are the situations. So I'm going to use like my personal example of just, and it's something that I have spoken about, but I want to like highlight it in this context of this identity and this experience that I've had of traveling the world, and like just a huge goal of mine being to travel the world. To, it was like my identity, it was my purpose, it was what I saved money for, it was what I spent my time researching, was what I spent my time doing. You know, if I was reading books, I'd be reading and I'd read about a place, be like, oh my god, I have to go there. And it was not just like, oh, I'd like to go there someday. It was like, oh no, 100% I'm gonna go there, right? Just the amount of time that I've spent on Skyscanner, like looking for flights, and like, you know, how many hours I've spent on booking.com, and just like all of these things that took up such a huge chunk of my identity and my time and my experience of life and like purpose of being a human, and all of those things was to see the world, to meet people, to all of these things, right? And I loved it and I still love it. I just had the realization over the past few months, like both deep in my body, but also finally in my mind too, of just, it's time to close that chapter. It is time to accept and like trust that I've done that. Like I've genuinely achieved that goal. You know, I have traveled the world. Yes, there are some parts of the world, obviously, that I still haven't seen. But I've seen a lot more than you could have ever told me that I would, like even 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. And I've seen a lot more than most people ever have and ever will. And I am incredibly proud of like my experiences of the last decade, you know. It hasn't been easy. Lord knows it hasn't been easy, but it's been so rewarding and it did give me such a sense of purpose. And so, how do you let go of something that has given you purpose, that has given you a reason to wake up, a reason to like desire money, right? To desire something to work towards? How do you, like, something that has grown into being part of your identity that people associate with you? You know, this is all part of ego death. This is just another ego death or identity death that I have to move forward. Something that was, and this is where like working with ego and authenticity and stuff like that becomes really, really interesting, because you can't cling to anything. It's like when you try to cling to anything, that's not real authenticity, because that identity and that desire and that experience as someone who travels, who has these desires, was mine for a long time. It was true. But if I tried to cling to that now, still out of that seeking to be someone important, to be someone interesting, or whatever you're getting out of that identity, that's holding on out of ego. That's holding out of that sense of like, well, who will I be if I'm not defined by this very specific thing that people have identified me as, right? So this is an example of like a really big identity death. And it is through like these sorts of deaths or these sorts of letting go that the visceral sensation of creating space is super, super obvious to me. Like, it's been a long time since I've had this level of identity death, and therefore this level of just, again, just like visceral, deep to my bones sensation of there is physical space being created in my life, like in my identity, in who I am, in who I feel I am, who I think I am, who I live my life as. And now the scary part, like the second scary part to that, is not just the letting go, but it is the letting go without knowing what's to come in. And this is where a lot of people have trouble, right? We feel like we can only let go when we know exactly what we're making space for, right? While I have like slight suspicions or like kind of like rumblings of things that I'd like to make space for, there's 100%, there's like nothing that I'm 100% clear on. Absolutely nothing I can cling to, okay? And I'm not saying this to be like, oh my God, I'm so like spiritual and like I let go of things easily. Like, no, this is like, this has taken me months, literally months to get to a point where I can even talk about this, where I can even verbalize this, where I can even like sit alone in a room and be like, do you know what? I think I can let this go. Okay. So my invitation for you at this end of 1 year. Oh, I'm actually going to share like a little fun activity that my best friend and I did yesterday, because this would be a good place to start, right? So think about something or multiple things, but let's start with just one thing that you are ready to let go of this year. Maybe it was an, like, as we close out 2023, like maybe it was an experience, maybe it was a relationship, a situation that really hurt you. Maybe it was an identity. Maybe it's something similar to mine, right? An identity that you've had, that you've held on to, that you've just felt has run its course. And rather than just writing out, like, I'm letting this go, I want you to break it down. I want you to focus on the nuances, the smaller aspects of this. Like, let's use identity, like, just for the sake of having an example. But again, you could do this for anything. So if I was doing this, right, I'm going to, and what I did yesterday, like my friend and I did this, was break down all the different elements, like all the different things that that specific identity had given me, that it had allowed me to live out, that I also have to let go as I let go of this like overarching sense of identity. So I'll use some of mine. I wish I had my little sheet of paper. We did them with like colored pens and stuff. It was really fun. It's a really fun end of year activity if you want to do that with your friends. But yeah, I can't find my little sheet of paper, but a few of the things that I wrote down, like, so these smaller nuanced parts of letting go of release, there was, like releasing the coping mechanism of escape, you know, as again, and this is where reflecting on your own inner nuance is that, yes, as much as I love travel and it was almost always moving towards something, it was also something that I used as an escape, as a coping mechanism, right? As, well, things have gotten too hard here. Well, that's fine. I don't have to be here. You know, I can leave, right? Letting go of that, releasing that. What does that mean? How terrifying is that? Actually letting go of a coping mechanism, all right? That is attached to an identity, right? The identity gives you an easy out. Another one. I just thought of another one. It was sort of attached to that. Letting go as a coping mechanism. That's right. So releasing the fear, right? So this is where the fear comes in. Releasing the fear of putting down roots, right? Releasing a deep, 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 deep fear of making attachments, of seeing people regularly, of forming deeper bonds, like in person rather than like via distance or via phone or via a language barrier even, right? Terrifying, you know? And again, this is my personal like reflections and release list attached to this specific identity, this thing, overarching thing that I'm letting go. Yours will be different, but there is a place for you to get started, okay? All right, so I've sort of covered my first two dot points with that. So we're talking about like a creative reset, right? I think a lot of people have gotten into a point because and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this too. It's just if you're a bit frustrated at your lack of like creativity at the moment, right? Because we are intaking so much content, it's wonderful because there are always so many TV shows to watch and like reels to watch and like TikToks and all of that. And there are so many books to read and there are so many podcasts to listen to. You know, we're always taking in other people's creations. But it is a way of numbing out. And when we're numbed out, when we're tapped out of our own feelings, our own emotions, our own inner world, we're not creative because emotions are the entryway into creativity. Okay, so here I'm speaking specifically to like creative output in terms of like writing or painting or drawing or poetry or even your own like TikToks or whatever it is, right? Whatever your desired creative output, right? Your emotionality and what you feel is a doorway into that. And so one thing that I've been doing is just listening to music from my past, right? This is going to sound like the most wildest thing, but I feel like some people will be able to relate to this. Is that like when I was a teenager, even when I was in my early 20s, maybe even into my mid 20s, right? I'm 31 now. I just felt more. I just spent more time feeling my emotions because there was less distraction, right? Or the distractions that were there were music. And so there are certain songs that I can put on from like 2007, 2008, 2009, you know, even like 2015, 2017, that have an instant emotional reaction, visceral emotional reaction inside of my body, inside of my heart. It's like I'm taken back to that place when I was feeling something. And so it's almost like someone else's art becomes a doorway into my art, because as soon as I start feeling things, I'm like, oh, I want to write a story that encapsulates the way that I feel when I listen to this song, right? Just because, like, you know, writing is my personal creative self-expression, right? But you might, yeah, so I wanted to just make this suggestion of using music as like an emotional anchor to both process the past, like to help you remember and feel again what you felt at that time, at those periods in your life as one, but also as a way, as an in to give the feelings of the past to your art, to your creative process. And this is something that I've been also reflecting on, and it is really, really helping me let go of this identity of a traveler, is that I have had so many experiences in the last 10 years of travel that, again, people will never have, like a lot of people will never have. I've been an outsider in like hundreds of different places. And as an outsider, you have such a unique perspective, right? It's like, it's almost as if the way that I see it as a writer, as an author, is it's as if I've literally stepped into 100 different stories as a narrator, right? And so with that past that I've gathered, with all those experiences, those observances that I have gathered as an outsider, you know, I view them all as potential stories that could be written, right? Hundreds, thousands of different stories just waiting to be written to... and oftentimes my into that, my remembrance to that is attached to music, is attached to, or they're like something that I'm doing, is just whenever I'm, my leg has gone to sleep, I'm sitting on the floor to record this. But whenever I am listening to music these days, if I hear a line or like a lyric that really makes me feel something, or I think like I want that to inspire like a story that I want to write or whatever it is, I write it down. Like I just have a page, like a Word document or like Google Docs document that's just lyrics that I love that made me feel something, right? That I want to encapsulate. And so if you're like, oh, I don't know what I want to create, like, I don't know what's there, I have no inspiration, like you've lived a past and your past is probably attached to, like, again, if you're anything like me, like your past is attached to music. What were you listening to at the time? You could also just go back. Something that I love doing periodically is just going back through my Spotify top lists from specific years. So if I want to reflect on something from 2021, I'm going to listen to my top 100 songs from 2021, and that's going to instantly take me back there. You know, I've had Spotify. Oh my God, my leg. I'm so sorry. I have like pins and needles. I hate this feeling. But yeah, I've had that Spotify premium since 2016 or whatever. So I have like my top list going back to that. And that's a lot of years of feelings and like emotions and travels and trips and memories and experiences and all of these things. Okay. Da, da, da. So that's what I want to say about that. Okay. So I have two more points, right? One of them is something that you would have seen me doing in the last couple of days. And this is what I wanted to work into the previous episode, but that got published before I had the chance to do so. Something that I'm doing at the moment is I'm doing two little challenges for myself, right? And this is, well, I'll explain what they are in a second. But first I want to explain the purpose behind challenging yourself. If you are someone who thinks or has the belief, like, I always quit, right? Or I can't stick to things, or I find it difficult to stick to things. All you need to do is just choose one thing, one little challenge, and devote yourself to it, right? I know it sounds so easy, but trust me, like, I hate failure, okay? I am an Aries rising. I hate losing. I hate being bad at things, okay? But if you want to get really, really good at something, you have to surrender and be like, there will be a time when I'm not good at something, right? And let me tell you, like, again, as an Aries rising, who is Mars ruled, extremely Mars ruled, my sun, moon, and rising are all ruled by Mars, okay? It is a lot. I like to win. I like to be good. I do not like people seeing me be bad at something, all right? But there will be, like, if you want to improve at something, or even if you want to stick to something, there will be days when you're not good at it. There will be days when you don't get instantaneous reward. And I want to connect this to something that I see a lot. So obviously, like, something that I work a lot with my clients on is like their own self-expression. And, you know, a lot of times they are also astrologers, or they also do human design, and they want to have a business, you know, they want to create content regarding these things and all of this stuff, right? And there is this sense, and I've sort of touched about this before, and potentially I spoke about it a little bit on the previous iteration of this episode, so I won't go too deep. But there is this story in the online business world that, you know, you're going to get attention straight away. You're going to be recognized straight away. People are going to be flocking to you and like booking readings straight away, which might happen. It happens for some people, but the chances are it will not. Okay. The chances are you will be talking to an empty audience for a year, 2 years, 3 years, right? I don't know, right? Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to an empty audience, right? And yes, I have a successful business now and I'm making money, but it doesn't mean that sometimes there's like echoes of emptiness in terms of like things that I create or things that I say. And like that's just a part of it, right? So if you want to, and like something that you will need to develop if you want to run a business is resilience, all right? This is where I think that instantaneous success might seem appealing, but in the long run, it's not. You want to develop resilience. You want to develop the ability to bounce back, to be creative, right? Look at something that's going on right now, right? We are in times of like, when people have like money troubles and all this stuff, right? And the market changes, like the market is always changing. And so you need to have a resilient mindset. You need to be able to persevere, all of these things. You need to develop that discipline, essentially. It doesn't come from like instant overnight success, right? It comes from running something over an extended period of time. It comes from being able to pivot and change and shift and all of these things that you learn the hard way. And so if you want to develop that ability to continue to show up and to not give up and all of this stuff for something like a business or a creative business, why not start with, setting yourself a challenge for 30 days, okay? Something that you actually push yourself through. All right, so I'm going to give the two examples that I was giving that I'm doing at the moment in a second. But like if you are in that example of, you know, feeling like you want to start a business, but you always give up or whatever it is, right? Why don't you challenge yourself to post on Instagram for 30 days, right? There doesn't have to be a point to it. It can be terrible content, you know, it can be things you aren't happy with. You could get zero likes in 30 days, right? Doesn't mean anything. It literally means nothing. What have you had to lose? It's not a comment on your worth as a person. And you didn't, okay? You will, trust me, you will learn so much about yourself in that 30 days. Like, the things you learn about yourself when you are challenging yourself, when you are putting yourself outside of a comfort zone, when you're doing things you've never done before, is unparalleled. Unparalleled, okay? And it's just a month. That's the thing you need to remember. It is literally 30 days, 31 days, whatever you choose to do. So the two examples that I'm doing is that I am studying Italian. I'm learning Italian, at least 3 to 5 sentences every morning for 30 days. I'm on day 5 or 6, I believe. And it is just like to show myself that A, I can stick to something. And also because it's something that I want to do. Okay. But I can't stick to Duolingo. I just cannot. And so all I'm doing is every morning I either ask someone to give me 5 sentences to learn, or I make up 5 sentences based on what I would actually say that specific day. But imagining I was in Italian, in Italy, essentially. So, you know, for example, the other day it was like, I knew I had to go grocery shopping. So I learned the sentences, I have no food in the house. I have to go grocery shopping. Do you want to come grocery shopping with me? And then my dad was like, you should learn, the cost of living is getting very high. So I learned that as well. But that's just an example. Then this morning I was like, learned all the different ways to say, I'd like a coffee, essentially. Like, so if you were saying to a friend, like, do you want a coffee and you're at the house already? Or if you were saying to a friend, like, and you're at a cafe, like, can you order for me this specific coffee, you know? Versus like, if you're ordering directly to the waiter, etc., etc. Just 1/2 hour every morning over my coffee. I learn, using my translator app, which is DeepL. Is the name of the app. I would recommend that to anyone. It's what I use when traveling, and my Italian friend Vanessa actually recommended it. But there's not just Italian in there. There's lots of different languages. And yeah, I used it in lots of different countries because it kind of, I think like Google Translate is good and it's definitely getting better, but Google Translate will still often give you the literal translation or like more formal translations, but DeepL will take into account more slang or like more natural organic ways of saying things, rather than just like the most formal way. So yeah, it's just called DeepL. I guess it stands for like deep language or something like that, but it's really good. So I'll just like translate my 3, 4, 5 sentences, write them down again, get people to quiz me. And I've been posting them to my Instagram stories again, just as a way of like, hopefully inspiring people to learn a language or to challenge yourself to do something every day for 30 days. And also as a means of my own practice, you know, it's, both. So that's one. And then I'm also participating in NaNoWriMo, which if you are not an author or you're not in the writing community, you might not have heard of it, but it stands for National Novel Writing Month. And it's just like a challenge where you are challenged to write 50,000 words like in one specific novel or book or whatever, or story or whatever it is, in a month. So it works out to be around 1,500, 1,600 words a day. And yeah, again, it's like, it's a challenge to prove to myself that I can do it. Like, writing and sticking to something is something that I have a lot of trouble with. It's not to be good at it. And let me tell you, I'm only up to day 6 or something, and it is painful some days because I'm like, my characters suck. I actually despise them. I feel no emotional connection to them, you know? But that's not the point. The point is not being good. The point is proving to myself that you can do it. It's also about learning to let yourself be bad, right? To find peace with not being perfect, not being like that Aries rising winner just for once, you know, because that is going to make taking the heat in other areas of life easier. It's going to prove to myself that, oh my God, you can write like 50,000 words in 30 days. That's wild. You can do anything, and all sorts of things. Okay. So that's that. So I guess this is a very interactive episode, isn't it? But I'm going to say, like, what can you challenge yourself to do for 30 days and start today? You don't have to wait for the end of the month. You don't have to wait for the start of a new month. You don't have to wait for a specific date. Start today. Okay. That was probably a funny sound. I'm not editing this, you know, after editing the last one and then not finishing it and whatever, I just can't be bothered. So enjoy all my little throat clears and ums and likes, and I just hit the laptop. So yeah, whatever, enjoy. Anyway, so the last little thing to create, to touch upon, is like one final little self-reflection piece before I send you on your way, okay? What have you created so far this year, and what do you desire to create moving forward? Okay, so you're looking at this from those two different perspectives, right? So firstly, in terms of like what you've created in a tangible sense, you know, have you made the art you wanted to make this year? Like, did you really want to start making your own candles this year, but you didn't do it because you're like, what's the point? It's going to be too hard. I don't want to buy beeswax, whatever the story is. Okay, great. We're not doing this to judge ourselves. All right. We are doing this to take stock. I wanted to do this and I didn't do this, right? And then instead of going into I'm a failure mode, right? And that self-shaming and that I never stick to things story, just choose a different way of going about it, okay? Just say, all right, I didn't, up to this point, make candles. I'm going to log on to beeswax.com.au now and I'm going to order beeswax. And that's step one, okay? And then it's done, all right? And then it arrives. And when it arrives, instead of being like, oh, I always order these hobbies and then I never fulfill them, be like, okay, what do I need now? I need wicks. All right, great. Well, maybe you order it all at once, right? And then you actually just do it. Just follow through, right? I think the place where I want to leave you is this. Another problem that we can sort of run into when we spend too much time in the spiritual field, the spiritual industry, is this idea that things should always feel in flow, should always feel natural, okay? That's just, it's not true. Like, well, maybe it is, but if you want to get to that point, you need to work past a nervous system that is really disliking of change. It's really disliking of failure. And so for you to get to a point where making candles feels in flow, you need to get to a point where that is something known and achievable to your nervous system. Okay. And that means working your way through a lot of, I don't wanna, what if I get it wrong? What if it smells bad? What if I set the house on fire? All of these just like insistences by your nervous system that this one very simple hobby, taking up this one very simple hobby, is not safe. Okay, so you're reflecting on what have you created so far this year, and also in terms of like the life that's around you, like what have you co-created, what experiences have you lived this year that you wanted to, what friendships have you co-created this year, just all the little bits and bobs in your life, right? And then also just take this moment, we've got 6-7 weeks left in the year, to reflect, what do I still want to create this year? Okay, because you still have time. And then, yeah, you can start to think about actually making a plan to put that into practice. So I'm going to leave that there. I would say definitely if this and the previous episode were useful for you, come to the free workshop, right? Or register to see it for free, to see it in replay. It's going to be really, really useful, I think, for you guys specifically, hopefully for everyone. But yeah, if you are someone who sort of struggles to break past the, I don't know, what if I get it wrong, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that will be there. So I'm sending you guys big, big love. I'll talk to you soon. I'm sorry if my voice was kind of crackly or the audio was not so good, but that's life. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Okay, lots of love. Bye.